just picturing myself right now, eyes closed. I'm in backstage of the sold out event for my podcast. I'm walking up the steps. I give thanks to God real quick and I pop out and y'all go crazy. Woo! I'm running back and forth on stage right now. Shaking people's hands, slapping people's hands. You feel me? Saying what up to the people in the back, saying what up to the people in the front, to the right, to the left, in the middle. Man, you feel me, man? God is good. God is great. Your boy's here, and we ready to rock this podcast. You feel me? Amen. Whatever that you got going on in your life, bro, and you want to push on forward, bro, you got to suffer, bro. You gotta go through some hardship, man, to get there. The stuff ain't gonna come there slight, ain't gonna come there easy. Cause anything that's easy to get, easy to achieve. How many people have done it? Damn near everybody in the world, you feel me? But the thing that'll separate you from them and from you to get into your goals and your dreams is for you to endure pain, endure suffering, endure sacrifices, whatever that you might endure on your road, on your journey to that better you, to that more fulfilling you, to that can't wait to look myself in the mirror, proud of myself in the mirror you, that proud parent, that proud brother, proud sister, proud whatever. But at the end of the day, make sure y'all proud to two things, man. Whatever that you might believe in, but for me, you feel me? God, Allah. God, make sure I'm living not a perfect life, but the most righteous life for me to live. And keep this shit all the way 100 to keep it honest. And always give him all the glory. Alhamdulillah. And second off, make yourself proud. Everything else is secondary. You make yourself proud. You do what is truly fulfilling to your heart, that truly makes you happy. Everything else is going to fall in line, bruh. Everything else. And then on the way of you making everybody proud, some jealousy is going to creep in. You feel me? Yeah. Some people will be sipping more on the haterade if they ain't hating on you already. Huh? You feel me? People could try to set up traps or whatever to sabotage y'all plan. I mean, your plan. People going to break your trust that put on a really good mask, bruh. That you thought they're on your side, but they weren't. But one thing for sure, two things for certain, they can't keep that mask on forever. So you know what? When you see it, understand that's who they are. And you cut them off. You can speak to them then cut them off, or you can just cut them off however you feel. Whatever's good in your heart, do it that way. But don't be naive. Don't be gullible. Because those two things, man, that might cost you your whole damn freaking dream. So let's not do that, my guy. Let's not do that. Hey, man. Welcome to the most prolific, most honest, most vulnerable, most honest podcast in the world, man. The Justin Bless Podcast. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I ain't gonna say a great day. But I guess for my soaking in knowledge and stuff, I started a book yesterday called Endure, right? Author's name is like Cam something. He's like a hunter type. He like hunt. You know what I mean? Go out there in the woods and hunt and stuff. He like that. He hunt elks, right? Yeah, that's what they're called. And I was trying to figure out, find a book to read. Not read, but listen to, audiobook. And I came across that, and like was it one that I might like. And I seen it, and I was like, huh, what's Endure? And then I seen a dude I really rock with, and it was the second audiobook that I ever bought, which is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. His name was on there. And he was basically saying, like, he, like, you know what I mean? Cosign was on. I was like, oh, word. And Joe Rogan cosign. I'm like, oh, word. I rock with Joe Rogan, especially on the, like, he is so, like, intrigued about a lot of different things. So his knowledge and wisdom, I feel, is very, very, like, it's huge. You feel me? Compared to a lot of people that live in a box, a real fragile box. That's like, no, no, no. We can't learn nothing else. Like, he's very curious about a lot of things. Stuff he's very uneducated on. He wants to get educated on it. And that is dope. That's fly, because I feel me and him connecting that way, because that's me. Truly, that's me. And David Goggins, man, he's a dude that I thought, man, I didn't think somebody like this is even exist. The suffering that this man went through is very inspirational. When I was getting my tattoo, my second tattoo on my ribs, I was listening to his audiobook. And his audiobook, first I listened to J. Cole's album, the Forest Hill one. And then I put on the audiobook. And that's what got me through my tattoo, bro. You feel me? And the tattoo artist was like, bro, it's like I was tattooing a dead body. You weren't even moving. And I quoted some words from Ezra Adesanya. He said, embrace the pain. Make friends with pain. Because pain's there for a reason. Don't shy away or run from it. And I said that to the tattoo artist. He was like, man, never heard anybody say anything like that. I didn't give Israel that credit right then and there. But when I said it to him, I was like, man, I got this is from Israel. You feel me? So respects to my man. Respects to all three of them. Anyways, bro, I started listening to the audiobook. And this dude works a full-time job. And my man runs a marathon or 20 miles every day before work. Nigga. What, bruh? Yeah, bruh. Before work, my guy. I was like, nigga, what the hell you got going on over there? But that's insane. But buddy, do it. But basically, he's saying the average, mediocre, all that, man, that's a failure mentality, dog. Like, buddy seemed like he go hard, bro. And he makes me want to go even harder, yo. Like, I go hard. But I know I can go much harder. Do you ever feel like that? Like, I go hard. But I can go harder, bro. I just know I can. So I gotta do it, man. I'm not saying I've been backsliding, but I've been letting a lot of more excuses get to my head. I don't know if it's because I got a girl now, or I have like investment property and stuff like that. But it's like, yo, I need more. You know what I mean? I've been riding this wave for a little bit too long. Or is like because I finished my three units. Like I said, when I set out for this goal, I wanted three or four units. When I got the three, my goal is to remodel all three to show myself I could do it. And I completed that goal. And now I got to write some more goals, bro. Like, I got to write a big one because I was the big one. Now I'm like, dang, like, what else? You feel me? So I gotta get to it, man. And I gotta get to it. And reading this book was just perfect. We got 5 months left of the year. What is this, bro? August, September, October, November, December. We got 4 months left of the year, bro. Four and a half, bro. That's a little bit over 100 days, bro. Like 150 or something like that. Ooh, bruh. I got to step it up, bruh. It's game time, crunch time. Yeah. Yeah, young nigga got to go get it, bruh. Young nigga got to go get it, bruh. Yeah, we in the gym going heavy, going dumb. And, man, I got a goal set out on Saturday, bro. I'm going hiking. I was going to go run at the Tempe Lake and do a nice little run, but I got to knock a goal down, bro. I got to knock a goal down. And I got to set the motherfucking tone, nigga. You know what I'm going to do, bro? Set it right here, right now, bro. North Mountain. I go up that mug and the most I ever did was 4. You know what we going to do, nigga? We going to double that, nigga. We going to do 8 of them hoes. I seen a nigga do 5, and I believe I said this, I expressed this on the pod or expressed it on Instagram, something like that. But anyways, follow me on Instagram if you don't already, at JustinBless_. Hey, YouTube going crazy, JustinBless. Hey, I don't know why I'm tied in with Justin Bieber when you look up Justin Bless, but make sure it's your boy. Make sure it's your boy that's in the tub with the green in the background, you feel? But anyways, bruh. So that's the goal, bruh, because I feel I got set a motherfucking tone for the rest of the year. 4.5 months left. We got to go get this shit. So let's go get this shit, bruh. Whatever goals you got, I'm right there with you. Let's go get this shit, bruh. Let's go get it. Yeah, let's go get it. We ain't not stopping. We ain't not stopping, not a damn thing. You know what I mean? So let's go get it. Yada da mean, bruh. But bruh, another thing I got to share with y'all as well. I came to it that I am going to do the one podcast a week. We're going to turn it only to Tuesdays. But I got to get to 52 episodes first. And I believe this one's going to be 51. You feel me? So we might even go and extend it. This one's going to be 51. Next podcast could be 52, and that one comes out on Tuesday. And that's going to be the 23rd. And then no podcast on the 26th, which is next Friday. You feel me? I got to make sure I'm able to do this video thing, balance my life and all that other stuff, like, just right. You feel what I'm saying? I don't want to give you an all half-ass, sloppy-ass shit. And then I got to work on more marketing the podcast as well. And make sure y'all share the pod, bro. That's how I grow, man. That's how I get it going. But visual and season one was with my cousin. You feel me? The More Life podcast. Then we transitioned to the Justin Bless podcast for season two. And season two was from one episode all the way to 52 episodes. Damn near, I did a week of podding. I mean, not a week. I did a year of podding, right? 52 weeks in a year. Did 52 episodes by myself. Grinded. Went hard to get to this point. And now we're going to transition to add that visual on there. You guys have helped me tremendously with just me being able to express, me being able to freestyle off the top of the dome. You feel me? Freestyle off the top of the dome. Express my concerns, whatever, bro. I put out my insecurities, bro. Was extremely vulnerable, extremely honest with all. You feel me? And now we go transition into like videos added on YouTube. I'm trying to see what's up with this Twitch stuff this weekend. Next week, I'm gonna try to, you know what I mean, get more visual out on this mug. But whew, man, we just gotta step it up, man. We gotta crank it up a notch. Got my camera, went in the gym with that mug, bro. This stuff was dope as hell. Freaking fly, bro. It was amazing. Now your boy is going to constantly use that. But I feel like my lens is messed up, bro. Like when I record, for some reason, like there's like this line, like this wavy line thing that goes through it. I'm like, bro, what the hell is that? So I think it has to do with the lens, because it was on my last camera too. So it's not the camera. I just got a new one. So it got to be the lens. And I think it's when I dropped it. This one time I dropped it, I think that might have messed it up. So we're going to try a new lens tomorrow. And then I do want that Sony G lens 2.8. But, man, that's just pricey. We're going to get it soon, though. We're going to get it soon and get it rocking. You feel me? But, yo, man, that's that, bro. That's that. That's me. Had a cool day. Like I said, I finished the audiobook. Bro, my goal for this year, I'm way behind, but we got to crank it up, bro. We got to crank that up. After this pod, I'm going to buy a book. You feel me? Shoot, matter of fact, man, we about to buy a book right here, right now. Right here, right now. We're going to buy this book, this audio book. It's called Grit. G-R-I-T. It's something that, it's the power of passion and perseverance. That's what grit is. So, we're gonna see what's up with it, bro. And shoot, right now we about to play a preview of it right here, right now on the pod. Let's see what the preview is like.
Dad worried that this intellectual handicap would limit what we'd eventually achieve in life. 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be awarded a MacArthur Fellowship, sometimes called the Genius Grant. You don't apply for the MacArthur. You don't ask your friends or colleagues to nominate you. Instead, a secret committee that includes the top people in your field decides you're doing important and creative work. When I received the unexpected call telling me the news, my first reaction was one of gratitude and amazement. Then my thoughts turned to my dad and his offhand diagnoses of my intellectual potential. He wasn't wrong. I didn't win the MacArthur because I'm leagues smarter than my fellow psychologists. Instead, he had the right answer, nope, she's not, to the wrong question, is she a genius? There was about a month between the MacArthur call and its official announcement. Apart from my husband, I wasn't permitted to tell anyone. That gave me time to ponder the irony of the situation. A girl who is told repeatedly that she's no genius ends up winning an award for being one. The award goes to her because she has discovered that what we eventually accomplish may depend more on our passion and our perseverance than on our innate talent. She has by then amassed degrees from some pretty tough schools, but in the third grade, she didn't test high enough for the Gifted and Talented program. Her parents are Chinese immigrants, but she didn't get lectured on the salvation of hard work. Against stereotype, she can't play a note of piano or violin. The morning the MacArthur was announced, I walked over to my parents' apartment. My mom and dad had already heard the news, and so had several aunties, who were calling in rapid succession to offer congratulations. Finally, when the phone stopped ringing, my dad turned to me and said, "I'm proud of you." I had so much to say in response, but instead, I just said, "Thanks, Dad." There was no sense rehashing the past. I knew that, in fact, he was proud of me. Still, part of me wanted to travel back in time to when I was a young girl. I'd tell him what I know now. I would say, "Dad, you say I'm no genius. I won't argue with that. You know plenty of people who are smarter than I am." I can imagine his head nodding in sober agreement. "But let me tell you something. I'm going to grow up to love my work as much as you love yours. I won't just have a job, I'll have a calling. I'll challenge myself every day. When I get knocked down, I'll get back up. I may not be the smartest person in the room, but I'll strive to be the grittiest." And if he was still listening, I'd say, "In the long run, Dad, grit may matter more than talent." All these years later, I have the scientific evidence to prove my point. What's more, I know that grit is mutable, not fixed, and I have insights from research about how to grow it. This book summarizes everything I've learned about grit.
Whew, that's pretty good, huh? Like, her voice is like very soothing and stuff, bro. You can go to sleep on that mug. But, bro, to get it, man, you got to have that grit, bro. You got to have it. But that's the book. So I'm about to buy it right now. Man, that's how, bro, when we get the video, the visual, you guys going to see this live with me just doing things, just live on it. You feel me? Yeah. Oh, man, wrong password. Damn. I'll buy that mug right now, though. Yes, sir. And it's bought. So that's a new book I'm going to start tomorrow, bruh. 20 books this year of audiobooks. That's what my goal was. You feel me? Young nigga, extremely far behind. We got 15 more books to go to, bro. But start that tomorrow. We got 4 books, 15. I do 3. If I do 3 books, bro, I'll get it. You feel me? 3 times 4, no, that's 12. I gotta do 4 books, bro. I gotta do 4 books. 4 books every month. Whew. We gonna get it, though. Don't worry, we gonna get this goal. You feel me? Just like that mountain goal on Saturday, I let you guys know how that went. We gonna get it. But just bought that book. And, bruh, something about that book that I read about Endure, right? He said he don't give advice. He just would just tell you what he done and what has helped him. And that's how I always feel too. Like, I don't like to give niggas advice. When they told y'all give me advice on a relationship, I'm like, nigga, I don't even know what I'm doing. How the hell am I about to give you advice? Just cause you see it from the outside in, nigga, shit ain't pretty all the time. You feel me? And the pretty stuff might be a extremely non-negotiable thing for you, but maybe it's negotiable for me. You feel me? So, nigga, fuck all that other shit. I could just tell you what has helped your boy, and maybe it might help you. But don't take my word for like it's law. You feel me? Like it's written in passed down from God. No, bruh. But maybe some of my words are, because I'm God-like, I'm God sent, and I'm using this vessel to help God's plan. But not all my words are, because at the end of the day, your boy human make a lot of mistakes. But when someone asks me, right, because I read quite a bit of books, audiobooks I'm getting more and more into, they say, "What book would you recommend?" Or what's your favorite book? And what's, I would just buy a whole bunch of things, right? Because like I told y'all and I referenced before and early in this pod, like Joe Rogan, man, I like to broaden my thing. Bro, I ain't know nothing about hunting. You feel me? Nothing. But I like to expand my, I guess, my curiosity, open my mind to different things, not all things, because everything is not for everybody and everything is damn sure is not for Justin Bless. You feel me? But if it seemed like a little trigger, let's give it a try. So I did, and that book was dope. It was real dope. But back to the advice thing. I remember this one dude I used to work with, man. He used to always say this whenever it was like I worked with him at AT&T. And whenever we profit $1,000 or more than $1,000, this nigga would say, "A thou wow." Nigga was from Detroit. His name was OP. His name was Owen Pope, I believe so. I believe it was Owen Pope. I'm not sure, but his name was OP. This nigga would say, "A thou wow." And that shit was just mad funny to me. And I still say that to this day, like a thou wow. If I ever see the guy, I say a thou wow. Last thing I heard he got a girl and the dude was driving a bus for the city and he was making some good bread driving the bus for the city. I haven't seen the man's in a minute, but thou wow. I remember this thing was trying to grow weed in his apartment, closet. Mad funny. But yeah, anyways, I remember this nigga said, he was like, "Bro, how do you know all this information?" And I don't know what I was even speaking on. I was speaking on something. So how do you know all this information? I was like, "Bro, I just, you know what I mean? I read quite a bit and do some research." And it's like, man. But, hey, I don't know. It's just me. But I'm going to share a little bit with y'all, man, which is this right here. My favorite book. When I move in this earth, I move with these four principles, bro. I call them four principles, but this book is called The Four Agreements by my favorite author, Don Miguel Ruiz. So we're going to tap into it. It's four of them, solid as hell, bro. You move like this in this world, bro, I promise you, you going to be straight, bro. Like, for real. You feel me? And this is a book that you can read over and over again. Like with finances, The Richest Man in Babylon, you can read that over and over again. This, bro, you can read this over and over again, listen to it over and over again. Trust your boy, man, for real. So we're going to tap into it. And hopefully you guys gained as much information that I have from this book. For real. Let's get into it.
So the first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. This agreement sounds so simple, but it is a very powerful agreement. It is also the most difficult of the four agreements to honor.
Sure is.
So it is through our words that we manifest everything that happens in our lives. And this has nothing to do with the language that you speak, your intonation, or how you speak. However, this is to do with your intent. So what is your intention when you're communicating with others and with yourself? You can kind of think of the word as a type of force that creates the events that unfold in your life. So the first thing you need to realize is that your words are powerful. It says here in the book, "The word is the most powerful tool you have as a human. It is a tool of magic. But like a sword with two edges, your word can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you."
Bro, that's a fact, bro. People take words so lightly. But for me, word is bond, for real. I always say this too. Don't tell me nothing you're not going to do. Don't tell me nothing you don't believe in. Don't tell me nothing you don't mean. Bro, don't waste your damn breath. Because you only got a couple with me. Until I think, man, everything that you say is just full of shit, bro. For real. Use your words wisely around me. I don't know about them other niggas you grew up with, but
Where does Bond over here, nigga?
So it's important to really respect the power of the word and understand how your word can change your reality and the reality of others. You know, we only need to look at the first half of the last century to see how one man's word was able to change the course of history and create so much destruction, hatred, genocide. The word can enter our mind and change a whole belief for better or for worse. So understand that our minds are very susceptible to the words and ideas of others. Quote from the book, you plant a seed, a thought, and it grows. The word is like a seed and the human mind is so fertile. So this is not only the words and opinions of others, but also, you know, the words that you use to talk to yourself. Okay, so if you're the kind of person that does daily affirmations, maybe auto-suggestion, or in general, you just have a positive outlook on yourself, okay, you're kind to yourself, then you will be sowing the seeds of positivity in your mind. But unfortunately, our minds are all too often fertile to these seeds of negativity. So seeds of doubt, fear, hatred, and, you know, not too seeds of love, happiness, abundance, things like this. Okay, next, the word casts spells. So the book goes into this concept of us all casting spells on each other through the use of our words. And I'll tell you a short story just to illustrate this point here. So a kind-hearted man comes home from work, long hours at a stressful job, and he has an excruciating migraine. He walks into the house, his son is jumping around and singing and expressing his joy. In that moment, the father turns around and says, "Shut up, just shut up, you have a terrible voice." Now, of course, the father never meant these words that came out of his mouth. But due to the migraine, any kind of sound in that moment would trigger him to say these words to his son. But it was already too late, and the spell had been cast. In the days, weeks, and years that followed, the boy would never sing again. And he even became shy and dejected in social situations. He wouldn't like to talk to people because he felt like his voice was unattractive. And all too often, even the ones that love us the most and care about us the most are the ones that cast these spells on us. But, you know, this doesn't mean that we should blame them for this, because, you know, they don't realize the power of their words, and we can only forgive them. Again, we cast spells all the time with our opinions.
Man, that's so true, bro. So true. And the only way to undo them spells from people that your father or whatever, you gotta undo it from within. You have to, I don't know, however you might have to test it. You feel what I'm saying? And even if it is true, embrace it. You feel me? With certain things, like if you feel like, oh, you got small feet, you feel me? And you like, oh, it took your feet away. Like, those are some things you can't change, so you got to embrace it. You feel me? So nobody can use that against you. But parents don't understand their words, how powerful they are. Or people just in general. That's why you got to be impeccable with your words.
Another quick story to illustrate. You wake up one morning, you're feeling great, and you go and sit down in front of the mirror, and you're sitting there putting on your makeup and doing your hair for 2-3 hours. And after that, you put on your new clothes that you've just bought, and you're feeling amazing. And your friend walks in and says, what on earth are you wearing? And what did you do to your face today? It looks so weird. Now, if you accept the opinion as truth, as we all so often do, then your otherwise amazing day has just become one of your worst. And for the rest of your day, it will just be consumed by these negative thoughts. So, you know, we don't know your friend's motivation for this opinion. You know, maybe she was trying to hurt you. Maybe she was envious because you were looking great. You know, maybe she wanted to be the best looking one at the party that day. And she saw you as a threat or something like that. We can never know. But whenever we hear an opinion and believe it, we make an agreement and it becomes part of our belief system. So these agreements that we make over the days, weeks, months, decades even, that unfold in your life, these agreements can, you know, they can really compound and take over your life for the better or for worse. So, you know, people accept the opinions of others far too easily. And the more, you know, the more heightened your awareness becomes of these opinions being just that, an opinion, the more easily you can choose to not make an agreement with these opinions of others. Now, it doesn't explicitly cover this in the book, but it does touch on this concept, and that is that you are what you consume, or your inputs are equal to your outputs. So if you're someone that consumes negative information, you know, maybe you're always watching the news, or you're always associating yourself with negative people, or maybe you're just someone that always likes to beat up on yourself. So you're always telling yourself, you know, I'm stupid, I'm fat, I'm unintelligent, whatever it may be. Then if you're someone that does these things, what you're going to find is that your life is going to attract more negativity. And this all happens without you even consciously being aware of it, because what is actually happening is your subconscious mind is taking in all this negative stimulus and manifesting it into all aspects of your life. So it's important to never underestimate the power of your subconscious mind and always be mindful of what you are consuming on a daily basis. Yep, so be aware of what you're consuming, because this is something that you can proactively control. You know, you can control what you consume. So maybe you need to change your environment or change who you associate with. Maybe, you know, maybe you have some toxic relationships that you need to just get rid of. And yeah, the things that you watch and listen to as well. Okay, and finally, the last insight from this agreement: gossip is black magic and pure poison. Unfortunately, gossip nowadays has become, it seems like, the favorite pastime of far too many people. And you may have heard this quote before, and it's also used in the book: misery likes company. So people who are suffering, they don't want to be all alone in their suffering. So they misuse their word with harmful intent, otherwise known as gossiping. And they try to harm someone and bring them down to that same level of suffering. And there's a book I love, which is called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in the book, Stephen Covey talks about this concept too, like not gossiping about others. He refers to it as being loyal to the absent, you know, so not talking about people behind their backs. And I also did a summary on that book, so if you'd like to check it out, I will leave a link in the description below. Gossip can be compared to a computer virus. So, another short story. It's a new semester. You're walking to your first class and you have a new professor. You bump into your friend and your friend says, "Hey man, be careful. That guy's a real jerk and he's also a pervert." So you walk off to class, you sit down, and as soon as the professor walks into the class, you feel this emotional poison rising up within you. And you lean over to your friend and you say to your friend, "Hey, be careful, man. This guy's a jerk, and I hear he's a pervert." Okay, now, before too long, this is spread throughout the whole class like a virus, and then through half of the school, okay? And it all originated from one person's word. And we really can't know what your friend's motive was for saying these words. You know, maybe he just wants to blame that professor instead of taking responsibility for the bad grades that he got in that class. You know, we can never know. But imagine every time someone gossips to you, it's like someone is inserting a tiny little code of virus into your mind, which is making you just think a little bit less clearly. And the more of these gossip virus codes that you take into your mind, the more clogged your brain becomes until eventually you can't think clearly at all. And the other main reason why we should never gossip is that if you use the word to gossip and cause harm or to cast spells on others, they will use the word to cast spells on you. So what you put out into the universe, you will also get back. So to recap this agreement, respect the power of your word. Your word can cause great destruction or great positivity. Understand how easily the word can affect our minds and our belief systems. We are always casting spells with our word. You are what you consume. The subconscious is very powerful. And don't gossip, because gossip is pure poison.
It sure is, man. See, being impeccable with your word, that's one of the most important things, I believe, to me. And I believe that's why he put that as the first agreement. Because, bruh, everything else is like connected to that in a way, to your words. So if you speak correctly for yourself, first and foremost, you're just speaking that into existence, which is good and great things. You say positive things about you. You're not saying I'm fat, ugly, whatever the case is, you feel me? And move on forward, unless you're really checking yourself and you need to make a change. Then that's the only time I agree for you to say something like that to you that's not used to cripple you and have an anchor to hold you like down and back. But it's a harsh reality that you need to make a dramatic change in your life. You feel me? Only time I agree about that. But yeah, man, let's get to the second one.
This can be positive or negative stimulus. And how you choose to respond or interpret, internalize that stimulus is what we will talk about here, which brings us to the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. So if I was to walk up to you on the street and say something like, hey, you look so stupid, or you'll never succeed with your business, or hey, you have weird looking eyebrows. Now, if I was to say these things to you and you were to agree with them, you were to agree with my opinions, then that is what it means to take something personally. So it says here in the book, you take something personally because you agree with whatever was said. As soon as you agree, the poison goes through you and you are trapped. Now, in my opinion, what the author is referring to as emotional poison throughout the book are the negative identities that we form within ourselves when we take things personally and we make agreements in our minds. And these agreements can start as small agreements, but over time, these agreements can compound and they can start to consume your life for better or for worse. And very importantly, like we touched on earlier, your subconscious is always working away in the background and it listens to all these agreements and it gets to work at making them a reality. So if your inner dialogue is filled with a lot of negative self-talk, like I can't do it, I'm a loser, I'm not worthy, then these notions compound, and your subconscious is going to find ways to put you in situations which validate these beliefs, and then furthermore compound the belief. About them versus about you. So others are going to have their own opinion according to their belief system. So nothing they think about me is really about me, but it is about them. And you may know the saying, your perception of me is the reflection of you. Another quote from the book, nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Now, whenever someone gives you an opinion of you, positive or negative, we must never take it personally. So all opinions do is give you a glimpse into this person's reality, or their dream, as the book refers to it. So, you know, we're all striving to operate at a higher frequency, but, you know, all people are at different levels, higher and lower. And you'll notice this when you communicate with different people, the words that they use, how they communicate, all of these things give you insights into their reality, their paradigm. So don't take the things that others say to you personally, because, you know, different realities, different belief systems, and different frequencies. So he says in the book, and I like this, was don't make someone else's emotional garbage your emotional garbage. Whatever someone says about you is the reflection of them. So it's not about you, but it's about them. Next, when everything around you is great, everything makes you happy. So your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. And if you're someone that likes to beat up on yourself, you know, misuse the word on yourself, and you easily agree to the opinions of others, then the chances are the filter or the lens through which you see the world will be tainted with negativity. And this negativity will seep into all facets of your life. And you'll always be finding yourself in these negative situations and associating yourself with negative people. And the opposite of that is also true. So when everything around you is great, everything makes you happy. If the things you consume are positive, the people who you associate with are positive, you love yourself and you use the word impeccably to talk towards others and yourself, then your world in general will become more positive. And just to say it again, so your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. We make agreements to help each other suffer. Misery likes company. And some quotes from the book here. Humans are addicted to suffering at different levels and to different degrees, and we support each other in maintaining these addictions. People are asking for justification for their suffering. It is as if they have a note on their back that says, please kick me. They are asking for justification for their suffering. So, you know, people want validation for their suffering. They want to know that they aren't all alone in these negative beliefs and suffering. And what usually happens is that negative attracts negative, or negative people attract other negative people, and they congregate around these negative beliefs and further justify and compound this suffering. And for me, I like to think of it like an echo chamber of negativity. And, you know, people get stuck in these chambers of negativity all the time, so much so that they can't even see that different realities are possible. And in just the same way that congregations of negative people can, you know, compound the misuse of the word and cause greater levels of suffering, positive congregations can do the opposite. So let's take, for example, in business. If you get a room full of, you know, positive entrepreneurs, get them all together, that's where ideas will flourish and, you know, abundance mindsets will collaborate and amazing outcomes can be achieved. Finally, for this agreement, keep the agreement with yourself. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, I love you without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. So with practice over time, you will become immune to the opinions of others and you won't allow others to easily impose their opinions on you. If you need to put it on your fridge or stick it up on your wall somewhere, don't take anything personally. You really need to remind yourself of this and practice it day in and day out. So let's do a quick recap of this agreement. If you agree with someone's opinion, then you have made an agreement to take it personally. Emotional poison is forming negative identities within yourself. Nothing someone says is about you, but it is about them. Negative people tend to attract more negative people, whereas positive people attract positive people. And always remind yourself to not take things personally.
You feel, bruh. Man, be impeccable with your words and don't take anything personally, bruh. Because people are in their own worlds and they're trying to project you however they feel fit to go with their story. And at the end of the day, what? Everybody is the good guy in their story. And some people are bad, some people are good, no matter what that person does. You feel me? So don't take it too personally. Be impeccable with your words. Don't speak just to speak. Don't talk just to talk, bro. Be impeccable with your words. Do your thing. Those are two agreements. We'll listen to the other two in the next pod to finish up season two of the Justin Bled pod. Justin Bless podcast. You feel me? Man. Thank you guys for tuning in and being with your boy on this pod, man. Yo, it's been such a journey in my life, just period. And that book helped direct and change my life in a big way. I hope it does that for y'all. If you haven't read it before, or if this is your second time hearing it, bruh, it's such a beautiful, great book. I bought it twice. You feel me? I gave it to a dead hoe. And she dead in the grave. Then I had to buy it again because I didn't get my book back. And now we listen to it. But hey, bro, the book is fire. And there's so many gems in there. And it's raining like crazy out here, bro. Seems like a thunderstorm about to come. It's monsoon season in Phoenix, Arizona. And y'all stay safe. Y'all stay blessed and stay dry. Don't stay wet. And stay cool, don't stay in the heat. And man, continue to stay blessed. You know what it is. It's Justin Bless. Justin Bless. Nonetheless.